everybody. Welcome to the Guys Learning Japanese podcast. How's it going, Nick?
It's going good. How are you?
Pretty good, too. Thanks. So usually our target audience is intermediate or advanced students of Japanese. But for today's show, I'd like to talk about beginners. And I'd like to give advice to beginners or people who are maybe planning to start learning Japanese. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Awesome. Okay, so let's start at the very beginning. What would the first step be?
Yeah, the first step. How about you go first and I'll go off you? Because there's just so many possible things the first step could be. I'll just go off whatever you say.
Okay, well, first I'll talk about how I started and how maybe I think might be a more efficient way to start. So what I did was I started by buying a Japanese to English, English to Japanese dictionary. And without knowing anything about the pronunciation, I just started learning words and trying to remember words, just trying to gain vocabulary through occasionally going through that dictionary. Did you do anything like that?
I did, yeah. But I don't personally think that was a great idea. Well, how about you?
Not really useful, but better than nothing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you started off with words, did you?
Yeah, started off with just learning words. And these were words, of course, written in alphabet, not using hiragana or katakana.
At what point did you get onto studying those?
Well, I only got into those after about a year or so, or maybe 6 months after I bought that dictionary. Because I started by buying that dictionary and then just trying to learn some vocab through that. And then sometime later, I started having these meetings with this Japanese girl who was teaching Japanese to like English speakers in Canada. She was doing it as a volunteer service for her university course.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a really good opportunity for me. I just met her in the food court of a mall, and basically what she did was she read kind of like kids' storybooks to me, like really slowly, and these books were written in hiragana. And I think they were targeted to like a really, really young age. But she read those things to me. I didn't really understand anything, but she explained some of the stuff to me in English. But I wasn't really interested in that at the time. I was more interested in learning about Japan. So usually she would read a few passages from the story. And then I would ask her like a question about like, I don't know, fast food in Tokyo, or maybe something about like Japanese history, just something really unrelated. But
so, do you think that you knew a lot about Japan before you started learning Japanese?
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, like, before or sometime after I got that dictionary, probably around the same time I got that dictionary, I just started getting books about Japan and like learning about Japanese history, Japanese culture, even Japanese religions and mythology. I just started getting books from the library and reading a lot about that stuff. And the language came a bit later.
Do you think that do you think the fact that she taught you using those kids' books, do you think that was a good idea? I mean, if you were to go back and be a beginner, or if any beginners are listening, would you essentially tell them that that's a good idea to go and read some, you know, books made for little kids?
At the time, for me, I think it might have been too early. Like, for example, if she read 100 words to me, I probably only understood one word at the time. So it obviously, there are better ways, but you know, I think it was useful, but there are better ways to start out.
Such as?
Well, what I would like to do, if I could go back in time, a few things that I would change about how I started Japanese. I think, yes, I would start with vocabulary at first, but before actually getting into vocabulary, I would learn hiragana, just hiragana. And then I would learn vocabulary through hiragana. And I would start with vocab, and then I would move towards sentences. And then maybe I would try and work my way into like paragraphs or maybe even kids' storybooks.
And where would you get those words from initially?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Have you considered, for instance, you know, on the Anki Share decks, they've got just so many lists that are like the 2,000 most commonly used words or
even I more. Never knew that, no. Yeah, see, at that time, I think that was, what, 2003 or 2002? I don't even know if Anki was available at that time, and I don't even think I had my own personal computer. I think I was using a school computer at that time.
Yeah. I actually really agree with what you said about learning hiragana. And, as for the words that I was saying on Anki, I think, I personally think that would be a good idea if you downloaded a deck like that and were just, you know, studying that deck like that. It might just be 2,000 words or something.
Are those decks available?
Yeah, they're definitely out there. If you just went on to the Anki Share decks area, I'm sure you could find 1,000 or 2,000 or even 10,000 or whatever it might be, most commonly used words.
I wonder if they have pronunciation.
They probably do, you know, given today's kind of, given how good Anki is now with all that sort of stuff. I would imagine they probably do have that. They might even be, you might even be able to do all sorts of things with it. I think one of the things would be, though, you might be learning some of those words kind of in a vacuum. Like, you might not quite know how to use them in context, because there's a lot of words, obviously, that are extremely common to, like, for instance, if you learnt the word tashka or tashkani, you know what I mean? You might, like, and you're going to look up, the definition will be something like certainly or certainty or something along those lines, but you don't quite really know how that's going to fit into a sentence. And unfortunately, I think as a very beginner, you just have to just wait until you advance more and you read more sentences and you start to see how these sorts of things fit into place. And it does feel like that, at least in my brain, it's like these little sort of, you know, loose rocks everywhere, and they all sort of, you know, sort of find their place as time goes on, you know, where they all fit in.
Yeah, and I think some good advice for that would be to not worry about output at all. Just get a lot of input and don't worry about the output at all, because you're probably gonna use it in the wrong way. So just try and worry about understanding what you see or understanding what is said to you. I think that should be your main goal at the beginning.
Well, so that essentially sums up my opinion on the very, very early stages of reading. You know, it's just going to start off basically as words. And just like what you said, I think you'll naturally start progressing into sentences. You might get some kind of other Anki deck, which might be your first 100 sentences or your first 1,000 sentence pack or something like that. I'm sure they're out there. But what about listening? What would you do as far as in the early stages of listening?
Well, before you go into the listening, I think you definitely need some vocab. So let's say you get an Anki deck with, you know, like the 2,000 most frequently used words. You master that, and then you know some basic sentences. From there, I would recommend just like a combination of reading short passages, and then to get to that listening point that you just mentioned, I would say watching a lot of either TV shows or, you know, could be anime or dramas or anything online, movies, anything, and then just trying to understand as much as possible. Since you're a beginner, I think you should aim for trying to understand 1% of the movie. And if you get any more than that, consider yourself really good.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. And it might be a bit disheartening, yeah, because there's so much you don't understand. But just like what you just said, I think, yeah, it's important just to aim extremely low like that.
Yeah, it tends to be really good, too, to watch a movie that, let's say if it's a Japanese movie, if maybe you know the story already, or if you've seen the movie in English before, like with an English dub or with English subtitles, that'll really help a lot.
Yeah, that's great advice. And so, yeah, I think that's a great idea. That's something that I didn't do that I wish I could go back and do. I think a problem that I had in the early stages is that I got very comfortable with the idea of reading. And I was very scared by the idea of listening because it just seemed too fast and I just couldn't understand. And I just figured if I just read more, I would be able to listen better, which is sort of a little bit true, but you still need to be doing a lot of listening. As we've mentioned on a previous podcast, you know, it's just so important to keep on listening all the time.
What were you reading?
I don't mean I was reading books and stuff. I mean that I was reading sample sentences from textbooks. And I was, mostly just that, I guess. Yeah, I was just rereading the same ones over and over, and I was laboring over the meanings of those. And often the textbook would actually come with CDs, which I'm actually quite interested to go back and listen to those CDs to see if I can understand them now. But at the time, they just seemed impossibly hard. I mean, it seemed like totally different, the written Japanese world compared to the spoken Japanese world, even though it isn't. It felt completely different, I guess, because it was just so fast. I mean, it was taking me however long, you know, half a minute to read the sentence. But without the people on the CD would say it in 3 seconds or 4 seconds. And so I think as a piece of advice that's not necessarily related directly to language learning, I think it's important mentally to try to not to actually stick to what's easiest all the time. Instead, I think that you should be trying to push, even if it's just a tiny little bit each day or a tiny little bit each week, trying to push against the very corners of what you understand. And trying to broaden that circle, because even though it's going to hurt a little bit, unfortunately, I think language learning sort of does. And I think it's ultimately better for you as a beginner to really get familiar with the sounds of Japanese and the speed of Japanese and everything right, very, very quickly.
What do you think is more important at the beginning? Would you say it's listening or reading? Which is more important?
Well,
in the early stages.
In the early stages. Like I agree with you that the very, very, very first stages that might not be much longer than a couple of months, I would highly recommend almost, like, not having much listening is okay because you probably don't understand anything and you don't really understand any words, etc. But once you've got some words, I think then it's important to go out into the world and start listening, even if, like you said, you're only understanding 1%. I think it's fairly early on, within the first few months, you should probably start putting on whatever it might be. A great suggestion I would have is to convert movies like Spirited Away or something like that, or a movie that you've seen in English and that you've recently watched in Japanese, even if you only understood 1%, to convert that to an audio file and just walk around when you go for a walk or when you're cooking dinner or whatever it might be, just listen to that movie over and over again.
I think you mentioned before breaking it up into parts, like having like maybe 10 or 15 minute parts and doing the same with the English. I think that would be like really beneficial.
Yeah, maybe I'm just a bit of a wuss, but I don't really like I don't really like listening to something that I've never listened to before. I don't know, for some reason I prefer to have seen the movie first and then convert it to an audio file and listen to it over and over that way, because I can
normally... It's easier to imagine that way, so...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I don't like imagining it if I've never actually seen the movie before. And so I just think that for that extra bit of security, I think it's really comfortable, and I don't know, I think your brain does start to figure it out, and as you learn new words, you'll actually hear them more. You'll sort of go, oh, there's that word, that new word I learned, I just heard it. Especially if you've been studying commonly used words, then you'll probably hear them in all sorts of things.
Yeah, I think if you're doing it with a movie that you've already seen, it's more like recall. But if you're doing it with a movie that you haven't seen, it's tapping into the powers of your imagination. Like, you're being creative. Like, you want to be into the recall mode.
That's right. Yeah, being creative is just takes far too much energy in those early stages, and all that energy should just be on just trying to, you know, catch up with what's happening.
So, okay, I got you there. The next point, kanji. How early should you start? Or should you ever start?
Yeah, my opinion on kanji might be a bit strange, but I personally think that if you have a full intention and you're really serious with yourself, then I think it's a good idea to start learning kanji fairly early. I'm not talking before you even know any other words. I agree with you that you should start with hiragana, not with kanji, for instance. But I think that within the first year or something, and you might not agree with this, but I personally think that getting into kanji is probably a good idea, because, you know, it's just it's going to take 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years to really, you know, to really get a handle on it. So kind of the earlier the better. Yeah, how about you?
Well, honestly, I think if your goal is to reach fluency, spoken fluency, and of course with listening, I think don't worry about kanji at all at the beginning. Just stick with hiragana. But you should know that without any kanji ability, you're not going to be able to read anything that's very meaningful, because very little Japanese is written in hiragana only. To be able to allow your Japanese to mature, you need kanji, because you're not going to be able to read anything that's complicated or specific. You're not going to be able to read street signs. You're not going to be able to function as a Japanese person in Japan. So,
yeah, I mean, just today I got a gas bill, and I couldn't read that gas bill if I didn't understand kanji. I mean, the whole thing is kanji. And then you couldn't read shop signs. So in other words, okay, you want to eat, you're hungry, you want to go out. You can't tell what the business is from just looking at a sign. You can't tell if it's a sushi place or if it's a ramen place or if it's or what it is. And so at every single shop, if you really want to do it this way, you have to basically go in and ask them. And you might be very competent at asking what kind of restaurant is this. But it's kind of exhausting. And then train stations, you might, if a friend tells you, oh, hop off at such and such a train station, you might not be able to read the sign that tells you what station it is. And so there's all sorts of, you know, you might not know what kind of product to buy, what kind of soap to buy, or dishwashing liquid or whatever it might be to buy, because you can't read the sign which tells you that this product is soap and this product is toothpaste and this product is such and
yeah,
such.
Yeah, being able to understand the food labels or like product labels is just something that's really, really important. Like if you have like a food allergy or something, or even different there are different trucks in Japan that have like a big sign that says poison on them in Japanese. So like, you know, I'm not saying like, you know, people are crashing into each other all the time, but if you were to crash into a truck, this would be the one you don't want to crash into.
Yeah, I saw one today that was, yeah, I saw one today that was liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, food labels. And I also, when I first came to Japan and my kanji wasn't as good as it is now, I remember being very frustrated with DVD covers because I wanted to get movies, but I didn't know what kind of movie it was because I couldn't read the blurb and I couldn't read the cover. I didn't know what the movie was about. And so all I could just was just judging off the actual picture, which, you know, it might be enough. But yeah, I think, you know, people would be surprised at what not having an ability to read can actually feel like in a country. It's very debilitating.
Yeah, it's just a shame because you're going to limit yourself. There are so many good different kinds of resources. There are so many good books or mangas, just different things that you could read and that they could really inspire you to study more. So if you don't have that initial ability, I'm not saying you have to be perfect in kanji, but having like a basic understanding of kanji, it'll really inspire you to study more because it's a rewarding experience.
That said, just... if you're the kind of person who wants to treat Japanese like a hobby, and they, you know, and you just want to come over maybe every couple of years, and you just come over here for a holiday, and you just want to go to Akihabara, or you just want to hang out in Osaka or something like that, and just do whatever, and you're casual about the whole thing, then I don't believe that you should even touch kanji, because as you've probably been able to tell from our opinions of kanji in previous podcasts, we obviously think it's very difficult and it's a massive hurdle. And unless you're really, really interested in learning it, or you really, really want to be at that fluent level, at that native level Japanese, then yeah, you should probably just avoid it altogether.
Yeah, and the worst thing about kanji is it's a really high maintenance skill. Like if you stop reviewing kanji or if you stop exposing yourself to kanji, you'll forget them. They're easily forgotten, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, do you have any sort of mental skills that you wish you had have had more, or any sort of frame of mind that you think is important for a beginner to have?
One thing that's really helped me though is just not thinking about anything too much. Never trying to complicate something. Never thinking, well, in English we say it this way. Why do they say it this way in Japanese? That's so stupid.
Yeah.
I've never been that type of person.
Yeah, you're hitting on something which is amazing. That's a big thing that I did in my early stages in Japanese and I regret wholeheartedly, which is that I was just judging and mocking Japanese at every single turn. And I would always say, oh, it's so dumb that they put the verb at the end. It doesn't even make sense. Or it's so weird.
It's so common for people to do that in a Japanese class.
Yeah. And just to judge it, I can't believe they don't have a word for this. It's so dumb that they don't have a word for this or whatever it might be. I think it's, I think Japanese is basically, it's just the way that it is. And it's a massive, massive mountain, but it's not, you don't have to climb it. It's not forcing you to climb it. If you're choosing to climb it, there's probably not much good in complaining the whole way up. I mean, since it's a choice, you can just go off and eat ice cream and forget about Japanese. It's fine. It won't care. And so I just think that, you know, if you're going to do it, then you should... just get to work. just stop whinging about it, because I think it might make you feel slightly better. I know that it made me feel slightly better when I was complaining to friends, and you know that I'd have some sort of sense of camaraderie. But then I don't think it's beneficial in the long run to basically have this sense that Japanese is crap or inadequate in some way. I just think it's a bad bit of sort of baggage to be carrying around.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone who's learning a foreign language probably does that at some point. They may think, well, especially people who are learning English, they probably think, well, why do they say it this way? Or English is so confusing, the grammar is so terrible. But there's no point in thinking about it. It's just you want yourself to be understood, and the language is the way it is. So you got to try and work with what you have and try not to think about it too much. The earlier you do that, the easier it's going to be for you to gain proficiency, I think.
I think that's a very, very great frame of mind to have when going into learning, well, anything really, but yeah, in this particular case, into learning Japanese. Do you have any other comments to make for a beginner?
At the beginning, you should try not to get too discouraged. If you think it's hard, or if you feel like quitting sometimes, maybe just take a break and consider why you want to learn Japanese. Do you just want to learn Japanese because you want to learn it? Or do you want to learn Japanese because you're interested in maybe playing more video games, or you want to read some different kinds of manga, or you want to read Japanese literature in its original form? Think, what is your motivation to learn it? And then, are you willing to invest your time and your energy into studying the language to access that?
When you said that, I think of two things. One, when I was in teacher school, one of my teachers said to me that being a teacher is basically a life choice. It sort of takes over your part of your, I mean, a lot of your whole character, and you find yourself thinking about lesson ideas long into the night when you wish you could just go to sleep or just relax. And you wake up thinking about how you can execute some plan that you've got in mind, at school. And then I think Japanese is much the same as that. I think it sort of takes over a lot of you, but because it takes over so much, because it just involves so much of you and it requires so much of you. So it's like it's sort of, I can't sort of just be calm and relax about learning Japanese. I'm very full speed all the way because, and then another thing that I was thinking of too is because it takes over so much of you, I think it's really important that you have really strong reasons, really strong motivations to continue learning Japanese. I was thinking about something that Tim Robbins, do you know that guy, Tim Robbins?
No.
Now he's like a motivational speaker dude. And one of the things that he says is you sort of set a goal and you really vividly imagine the goal. And then the goal is sort of so enticing, and it could be several of them, and it might be a really strong image in your mind. So it might be an image of you reading a book that you've always wanted to read in Japanese, or it might be an image of you chatting up a girl in Japanese or something like that, which they're both images I have. And those goals are so strong that it's sort of those goals pull you towards it rather than you always feeling like you're pushing yourself towards something. It's sort of you feel like as though you're being dragged, or being pulled, probably is a better word to say than dragged, towards those goals. So it doesn't quite feel as heavy all the time.
Yeah, that's a good tip. That's a really good tip. I think another thing that you may want to do is think of Japanese as a very high maintenance relationship. At the beginning. So you're really going to have to go out of your way, and trying to force the relationship to work is not going to make it work. You're really going to have to think carefully about how you study. You're going to have to try and guide yourself into learning Japanese. You're not going to force yourself into doing it. And once you do that for enough time, it'll just kind of come to you more naturally, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people online talk about that idea. They talk about how you basically, you said, like you said, you can't force yourself to study. You might be able to force yourself to study for a week, 2 weeks, even 6 months, but if this thing's going to take 8 years, you can't force yourself every day for 8 years. I mean,
Yeah.
you'll be an empty husk by the end of it. So in other
words, sounds like a terrible life.
It does. It does. And I'm sure we've all had moments where, you know, we've done that. I know I certainly have had moments where I've studied when I didn't want to at all. But I think it's very, very important to, essentially, I think a good solution to that is just find things that you enjoy within the language.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to end it there?
Yeah, that sounds like a good spot to wrap it up.
Okay, newbies, this was your episode. We hoped you liked it. So for the intermediate and advanced folks, we'd really like to hear your comments. So send your emails to us, send your comments to us, and beginners, we'd really like to hear your questions too. So please, send them our way. Thanks for listening. Okay, thanks for listening to the Guys Learning Japanese podcast. Send your questions to glj@gmail.com. We'll answer your questions on the show.